Bruchim Habayim, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Vayetze. Baruch Hashem, we have the privilege that tonight's shiur is being sponsored by Isaac and Shoshana Yaroslavich. We're very, very grateful to them for their sponsorship. Isaac and Shoshana are sponsoring to commemorate the 15th yard site of Shoshana's father, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, ben Rabbi Eliezer Lipa HaKoyen. His yard site is on Zion Kislev, the 7th of Kislev. We hope, Ezras Hashem, that all of the chizuk and the inspiration that we're able to get together, the Ezras Hashem from the shir, be indeed lezecher nishmas uleilui nishmas, his neshama tahira. Once again, we're very grateful to Isaac and Shoshana Yaroslavich for their sponsorship, and please keep in mind that Zion Kislev, as we said a moment ago, is the 15th yard site of Shoshana's father, Zichrono Livracha. Please keep his name in mind, Reb Yosef Yehuda ben Reb Eliezer Lipa HaKoyen, and Bezras Hashem, his neshama tahira, should have a lichtige aneden, and we're grateful for their sponsorship. And indeed, it should be lezecher uleili nishmosei. I'd like Bezus Hashem to try to accomplish six different divrei Torah, six insights into Parshas Vayetze, and let's do it in order of the Parsha. In other words, we'll start from the beginning, follow along. You should have a chumash open. It certainly makes following the shir easier and for sure more enjoyable. Let's try to accomplish six different insights into the Parsha. And the Ezras Hashem, as we often say, for those in the Heichel, for those who are listening on the phone, for those who will hear the recording, that not only should we gain from the Parsha insights, but it should enhance our Shabbos Kodesh by sharing these Divrei Torah with others. Number one, the opening words of the Parsha, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana. Yaakov departed from Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran. There's a very powerful pshat from the Chassam Sofer, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu. The Chassam Sofer tells us that over here, when Yaakov Avinu is departing, it says the word Vayetze Yaakov as well as the word Vayelech, that he departed from and went to. But if a person takes a look a bit ago in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Dalet, by Avram Avinu in Yud Beis Dalet, the Pasuk tells us, Vayelech Avram, Avram went, but it doesn't say anything about Vayetze, where he departed from. So the Chassam Sofer points out, why is it that by Avram, it only says the Vayelech, not the Vayetze, but clearly in the opening of this week's parasha, it says both Vayetze and Vayelech. And the Chassam Sofer, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, tells us something incredible. We know that Rashi says on the words Vayetze that he departed. Of course, Rashi tells us it's to teach us Yetzias Tzadik Min HaMokim, when a righteous person leaves a place, Osoroshim, it makes an indelible impression. Because while the righteous person is in the city, he is the glory, he is the Hoid, he is the Hadara. He is the exquisiteness of the city. When he leaves the city, to a large degree, those things leave with him, and those things are gone. So now with that shot in Rashi, says the Chassam Sofer, in this week's Parsha, when Yaakov Avinu left, who did he leave? The home of his parents, Yitzchak and Rivka. Indeed, his departure and his absence were keenly and acutely felt. Why? Because they valued his greatness. They valued his splendid character. Memela, Rashi says, when he left, there was a great, great void that was created. But when Avram Avinu departed, who did he depart from? He left an environment of people, excellent. He left an environment of people who worshipped idols, people who did not appreciate his outstanding qualities. In other words, when Avram left, they didn't sense that the splendor and the radiance of the town departed with him, and therefore the word Vayetze is left out and not appropriate I hope we appreciate the profundity of the Chassam Sofer's Pshat. The Chassam Sofer is telling us you use the word Vayetze to denote something departed with the tzaddik, the splendor, the grandeur, and it's keenly felt what we're missing. By Yaakov Avinu, it says Vayetze because with his departure, those that he left felt his absence. It was acutely aware that the greatness and that character was no longer there. But when Avram left, the people that he left from simply did not appreciate and they didn't value his outstanding qualities. Memela, the word Vayetze is not appropriate. The word Vayetze is not there because the word Vayetze denotes not only did the tzaddik leave, but we feel the loss. We feel it's no longer here. That was true by Yaakov, but unfortunately it wasn't true by Avram. And when I saw that pshat of the Chassam Sofer, I began to think to myself, maybe that the takeaway for each and every one of us is to value even greater our gedolim, our leaders. Those leaders, the people that we're able to turn to that we have in our life. We're zoicha baruch Hashem to have those people, those gedolim, those tzaddikim. But always remember that it's in a fashion of vayetze, meaning to say we should appreciate the grandeur. We should appreciate the exquisite splendor that the gedolim and the chachamim and our leaders offer to us. Of course, we hope to be zoicha to that yehi ratzon that says, L'kayim bonu chachmei Yisrael, but let's remember the lesson of the word Vayetze. Vayetze has to be that we appreciate. Vayetze has to be that we value those qualities and we understand how grateful we have to be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our Chachamim. V'hayu einecha royes esmerecha. They guide us and they help us to become better people. The second pshat I'd like to share with you is a few psukim later. Actually, it's the very next pasuk. Take a look in Chof Ches Yud Aleph. The pasuk says, Vayikach me'avnei hamakim. Yaakov Avinu, when he went to lie down, he took me'avnei hamakim. Me'avnei is plural. Of course, we know the very famous Rashi. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. It's nice to see such a large oilam here in the Heichal. It's a great source of inspiration. We know that Avnei HaMakom is plural, yet later on the Pasuk tells us that he only took one stone. Which was it? Were there many or was there just one? And of course we know the famous Pshat Rashi or Chachamim tell us. In this Pasuk indeed it says, May Avnei HaMakom. Yet a bit later on, if you look at Pasuk Yud Ches, what does the Pasuk say? Vayikach es ha'even, singular. Was it plural? Or was it singular? Was it many? Or was it only one stone? And Rashi, of course, tells us that the seemingly contradictory statements that originally he took many and now there was just one, you see, in his sleep, each one of the stones argued for the schuth. They wanted the merit of having the head of Yaakov Avinu rest upon it. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu settled the matter by making all the stones merge into one large stone. And therefore, although it begins in the plural, it ends in the singular. May Avnei becomes Evan. Why? Because at first, indeed, they all argued for the schus of being under the head of the tzaddik. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu settled it by letting all the stones merge into one. I wonder if all of you who are listening have a question on what I just said. We've known this Rashi for so long. We've known the seeming contradiction of plural to singular. And we know how Rashi answers it. But aren't you still wondering? Don't you still have a question? The Gerer Rebbe Zechusa Yogan Aleinu says, I don't understand. How was it? You have a kasha? You have a question? How was the situation helped out? all of the stones merged into one stone. And now all of a sudden, all of the stones, now one large stone, it was happy. But not every part of that large stone could be under the head of the tzaddik. Only a small fraction of that one large stone could be under the head of the tzaddik. There still was 90 or 95% of the large stone that was surrounding the tzaddik, but not under his head. So what did we accomplish? Do you hear the kasha? What did we accomplish? If you're telling me that all the stones argue they wanted to be under the head of the tzaddik and therefore they became one large stone, but now that it's one large stone, imagine it's one large stone 10 feet in circumference, but only a few inches are going to be under Yaakov Avinu's head directly. The other 9+ feet are around the body, but not under his head. So how did the arguing and bickering stop? Still 95% of the stone wasn't under his head. The Ger Rebbe tells us an extremely powerful answer. He says, as long as each of the stones were individuals and viewed themselves as individual stones, they felt the need to compete with each other. They felt the need to fight and to argue with each other. But once they were united, once they became one organized stone, each part of that stone understood were a part of a whole. And so Zokta Ger Rebbe, the competitive nature, disappeared. Do you realize the profundity of his pshat? He's telling us a rule vis-a-vis interpersonal relationships, because when there's unity and when there's one goal, then the jealousy and the argument cease to exist. The whole while each one viewed himself as a fragmented individual stone, they argued, they each wanted, albeit for a good thing, to be under the head of a tzaddik. They felt the need to compete. But once they became one large, united, organized stone, and they realized we're in this together, we're one, we are part of a much larger whole, the competitive nature disappears. The jealousy and the argument cease to exist. And that's really the fabric and the DNA of Klal Yisrael as a Yid. We've said countless times that somebody once said they take umbrage with that which it said that Hitler, Yamach Shemai V'Zichroi, killed 6 million Jews. A person felt that's not accurate. He didn't kill 6 million Jews. He killed one Jew 6 million times. Because we are part of a much larger whole. There are many different parts of Klal Yisrael, the Ashkenazim, the Sfaradim, the Litvish, the Hasidish, people from birth, just becoming a Baal Tshuva. There's many, many. But if we would realize that we are one Yid, one body, one nation, one person, one heart, one soul, just like that singular Evan, then really what should happen is the arguments and the bickering should cease to exist. That's the lesson of the stone, says the Ger Rebbe. And it's interesting, we've said many times that the word Evan is the most appropriate word to teach us that lesson, because Evan is spelt Aleph Beis Nun, which of course I see from the smiles and the heichle you've heard from me many times, stands for Av, Ben, and Neched. The first letter of Av, father, Ben, son, Neched, grandson, Aleph Beis Nun spells the word Evan. The idea of Evan is generations coming together. In fact, think about what is a stone. A stone is actually billions and billions of particles that when heated up becomes one. That's Klal Yisrael. That's the lesson of the many stones becoming one. And although after it became one, only a small fraction of it was actually under the head of the tzaddik, since they were all working together and in unison, they were all able to be happy for each other. Take a look a little bit later on in the parasha, if you're turning your Chumash and Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Dalet. Actually, the third and fourth pshat tonight are both on the same pasuk. So you don't have to turn too far. Perek Chavtes Pasuk Dalet. The third and fourth pshat, as I said a moment ago, are both from these psukim. Let's begin with Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer lehem Yaakov. Yaakov turns to the shepherds. Achai me'ayin atem. He wants to know, where are you from? And a few psukim later, Yaakov Avinu seems to be, if you will, giving them mussar or rebuking them. Why are you leaving? The work is not over. The day is young yet. Take a look at the pasuk. Pasuk Zion tells us, Vayomer, he says to them, Oid hayoim gadol. There's still plenty of time left to the day. It's not yet time to call it a day and to bring in the sheep. They still need to be watered and given water. Essentially, he was giving them mussar like if a person had a worker and the employee was supposed to be there till a particular time, say 5 o'clock, and he clocks out at 3:15. You would turn to that worker and say, what are you doing? You have a couple hours left. Where are you going? I heard this pshat many years ago. I believe it's from the Ponevizhirov, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. Yaakov just met these shepherds. Imagine that you meet somebody for the first time and one of the first things that he or she does is give you mussar, rebuke you or tell you that you're not doing something correct. You might be offended. You might be taken aback. We just met. I barely know you. You're giving mussar and you're rebuking me? So how do you understand what's taking place in the parasha? Yaakov Avinu just met these shepherds, and essentially the first thing he's doing is giving them mussar and telling them it's not yet time to leave. The day is still going on, and there should be a few more hours to be put in. If that would happen to us, how would we feel? Yet the shepherds seem to take it very graciously. They seem to accept his words. Why? If they just met Yaakov Avinu, why did they take his words? Even though they seem to be words of rebuke, why did they take it so graciously? And he answers so beautifully, because you and I glossed over one word. Read the opening words of Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer lehem Yaakov. Yaakov said to them, Achai, you're my brothers. That one word is the answer to the question, Achai, you're my brother. Achai, I care about you. Achai, you mean something to me. And if you start off a conversation and dealing with somebody, Achai, you're my brother. You're my sister. You're my family. You mean something to me. I care about you. Then the other party becomes far more receptive, even if it's mussar, and even if it's criticism that might not be so easy to listen to. Zukta Ponevizhirov. They listened willingly to what Yaakov said because he started the conversation with the opening word, Achai. Achai teaches the other party, you're my brother, you're my family, I care about you, you mean something to me. And once you have that person's emotion, they're feeling their attention, it's a lot easier to connect and communicate, even if the words that you have to say may not be so pleasant to listen to. I'm sure all those who are listening realize that in virtually any relationship, this is literally the 101 basic. You're speaking to your spouse, to a sibling, to a friend, to a coworker, somebody in a business partnership. Sometimes you say things that are easy to be listened to, and sometimes the things that you say may not be so pleasant to listen to. Whatever conversation with whomever it is, make sure we start it with the word, whether it's literally or figuratively, Achai. Convey the aura and the feeling, I genuinely care about you. You mean something to me. We're part of a whole. Don't just say it as lip service. Put your heart into it. Let the person that you're speaking to know, Achai, you're my brother, you're my family, I care about you, and now let's have a heart-to-heart conversation. Because Be'ezrus Hashem and B'siyata Deshmai, if we would begin our conversations with Achai, and the person would see how genuine and sincere we are, then hopefully we'll have more Hatzlacha in the people and those things that we mean to convey. The fourth pshat is actually based on the same pasuk, but to appreciate this, you really have to look inside. So in case those who are listening or perhaps to the recording think, I'll do this next pshat without looking inside, I'm telling you, you'll enjoy it 100-fold if you look inside. Yaakov is having a conversation with the shepherds. Did you notice something interesting in the conversation? Take a look at Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer lehem Yaakov, Yaakov spoke to them. Vayomru, they answered him. Go to Pasuk Hey. Vayomer lehem Yaakov spoke to them. Look again. Vayomru, they answered him. Take a look at Pasuk Vav. Vayomer lehem Yaakov spoke to them. Vayomru, they answered him. I'm sure if you looked inside and took me up on it, you notice, what did you notice? A great difference between how the pasuk phrases when he spoke to them vis-a-vis when they responded to him. When Yaakov spoke to them, the pasuk says in Dalet and Hey and Vav, Vayomer Lohem, Vayomer Lohem, Vayomer Lohem. He spoke to them. But if you take a look in Dalet, Hey, and Vav, when they responded, it says, Vayomru, they said. Next pasuk and the one after, two more times, Vayomru, they said. It doesn't say the word loy to him. The opposite of lahem, him speaking to them, would be for the pasuk to say, Vayomru loy, they responded to him. Why is it every time he spoke, it says lahem to them, but every time they responded, it just says vayomer, they responded without saying lo to him? Years ago, I heard a beautiful pshat, and once again, it's a basic 101 in conversations, in a relationship, and connecting with a person, especially today with technology, and everything that has a person doing like a million things a minute. When Yaakov spoke to them, the Torah is teaching us the way you speak to a person is, Vayomer Lohem. He spoke to them. He looked at them. He focused on them. He gave them his time and attention. Vayomer Lohem. Vayomer Lohem. You ever have somebody respond and they're, I don't know, perhaps texting on their phone, doing 18 other things on their phone, and they barely look at you when they're responding to you? Yeah, I think a lot of you know that feeling. That's what happened when they responded to him. It doesn't say that Vayomru Loi, they spoke to him. That would indicate that they focused on the person they were talking to. It just says Vayomru, they responded without saying to him. In other words, indicating not being as focused on responding to the person they were talking to. I'm looking at you in the Heichel. Does that ever happen in a conversation? You're talking to somebody, and it's a very important conversation to you, whatever it might be, and for you, it's Vayomer Lahem. You're speaking to the person. You're looking at them with your eyes, with your heart. You're looking at them. You're connecting with them. And maybe the person is just responding, Vayomeru. Oh, their lips are moving. They're politically correct, or maybe not so sometimes, in what they're answering, but there's no connection of loy with a vav. There's no connection as if the person's made to feel, Oh, you're responding to me? And that's a fabulous takeaway of the phraseology and the diktuk and the psukim back and forth. Yaakov Avinu teaches us when having a conversation, connecting with our child, it must be vayoymer lahem, to them. We look at them, we concentrate, we close everything else out, and you are the center of my focus and my attention. But the wrong message would be, is if the response was simply, vayoymru, here's the response, my lips are moving, but I'm multitasking when I should be looking at you. I'm responding on my smartphone to a few of the emails or the texts or the apps or whatever it might be. That's terrible. We should be zeich in all the people that we connect with, that it be lohem, it be loy, it be to the person, that they're made to feel, like we said from the Pana Vizhirav, Achai, that we genuinely care, and not that we're looking in 10 other directions while someone's talking to us. A little bit later on, Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf, here we have to turn a bit. Oh, we're talking about Leah's children. Leah had Yisachar, Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf, and now she has Zevulun. I'll tell you, a few days ago was the 24th yahrzeit of my father's atzal, Harav Avraham Mordechai ben Harav Yosef. This pshat that I'm about to share with you, our fifth pshat of the night, is actually from the Meshech Chochma. The Heilige Meshech Chochma, Rabbeinu Simcha, Zecher Tzadik, V'Kodesh Levracha, the pshat my father said countless times. And it's an honor for me to be able to share this Meshech Chochma with you. I hope you enjoy how powerful the pshat is. Look inside, Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf. Leah gives birth to Zvulun. And upon giving birth to Zvulun, the Pasuk says that she in Pasuk Chaf exclaims, this time I have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me Zeved Toiv. Zeved Toiv means a good endowment. Now I have Toiv, goodness. What does she mean, now with the birth of Zvulun I have goodness? You should fasten your seatbelts. I'm talking a double seatbelt fastening for such an incredible Pile Ployim pshat from the Meshech Chochma. Zok the Meshech Chochma, and I quote, there are three crowns, Torah, Kehuna, Malchus. Now she, Leah, had all three. Because, of course, when she had Levi, she had the crown of Kehuna. When she had Yehuda, she had the crown of Malchus. And now with Yisachar, she had the crown of Torah. But yet the word Toiv is a reference to Torah, as in Ein Toiv Ela Torah, the ultimate goodness is Torah. So why does she use the word Toiv by the birth of Zvulun? It should have been earlier with the birth of Yisachar. We just said she now had all three crowns. She had the crown of Kahuna with the birth of Levi, the crown of Malchus with the birth of Yehuda, and she had the crown of Torah previously with the birth of Yisachar. So why does she only exclaim now with the next child, Zvulun, Zeved Toiv, now I have the completion of Toiv Torah? That happened earlier with Yisachar, not now with Zvulun. Says the Heilige Meshech Chochma, because if you would have a Yisachar, who represents the one who sits and learns, without a Zvulun, and as Zvulun, of course, represents the one in commerce, the one who's in business, who supports the learning of the Yisachar. A Yisachar without a Zvulun, supporting him and being machzik him, eina yochal lilmoid, could not properly and adequately learn. And therefore, says the Meshech Chochma, although she achieved the third crown of Torah, earlier with the birth of Yisachar, it was only completed, as indicated with the word Toiv, with the birth of Zvulun. Because if it wouldn't be for Zvulun being machzik and supporting the Yisachar, Eino Yochel Lilmoy, there wouldn't be the proper learning of Yisachar. In other words, without the Zvulun, there wouldn't properly be the Yisachar. So only with Zvulun did she use the word Toiv, a reference to Torah, a reference to the completion of the crown of Torah, because of the importance of Zvulun in Yisachar's existence. My father, Zatzal, used to use this pshat to explain something so fabulous regarding the Dalet Minim on Sukkos. I hope you share in this personal joy that I have saying it over. If you take a look, the Dalet Minim, we just had Sukkos not too long ago. The Lulav, the Esrog, the Hadassim, the Aravos. Each one represents a different type of Jew, with Torah, with mitzvahs, with both, without. And it's represented by taste and smell. The famous Medrash Chazal tells us the Esrog, Yesh Bo Tam Yesh Bo Reach, has both taste and smell. The Arava has neither. The Lulav has tam but not reach, has taste but no smell. And the Hadassim have reach but no tam, smell but no taste. I looked to see who picks up on his question. My father Zatzal wondered, how do Chazal say about the Lulav, Yesh boi tam ve'ein boi reach, the Lulav has a tam, a taste. The Lulav doesn't have taste. It happens to be the dates. The dates on the palm tree. That's what has the tam, the taste. But the Lulav, the palm frond that you're holding, that doesn't have tam. So how, pray tell, could Chazal or Rabbi say about the lulav, yesh boi tam, it has taste? It doesn't have taste. What has the taste is the dates, but not the lulav. According to the pshat we just said from Reb Meir Simcha, my father wants to answer the same concept. If you've ever seen how a date palm tree grows, the dates have a luscious taste. But that's primarily because on top of it, there are the lulavim that protect it from the sun. If you wouldn't have the lulavim protecting the dates from the sun, the dates would shrivel up. The dates would become inedible. The reason, the goyrim, the cause of why the dates have such a luscious taste is because the lulavim are protecting it from a scorching sun, potentially from drying up, potentially from becoming inedible. And just like you see from the Meshech Chochma, that the credit goes to the goyrim, the credit goes to that which causes something to exist. In other words, the credit goes to Zvulun for being the goyrim and the cause for Yisachar. Therefore, Chazal say about the lulav, yesh boi tam, it has tam. How could you say that the lulav, it has taste? It's not the lulav that has taste. It's the date that has the taste. But according to the concept of the Meshech Chochma, if it wouldn't be for the lulav protecting the date from the sun, the lulav wouldn't, the date wouldn't have any taste. It wouldn't be edible. The Mele Chazal are correctly telling us about the lulav, it has taste, because the credit must be given to that which causes the geirim, which is the same concept that we see from the Meshech Chochma. And for the sixth and final pshat, take a look, please, at Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Hey. In Lamed Aleph Hey, Yaakov Avinu is telling his wives, Rachel and Leah, we need to leave your father's house. They've been a number of years in their father's, the house of the Rachel and Leah's father, Lavan. Vayoymer, says the Pasuk, Lamed Aleph Hey, Vayoymer Lehen. He says to his two wives, Roya Neichi es Pnei Avichem. I see and noticed your father's disposition, and I notice, Ki Einenu Eli, Kismol Shel Shoim, It's not towards me as it was in earlier days. Einenu Eli, it's a different disposition. Sometimes you visit somebody and you feel like, have I been here for too long? They don't see it to seem to be as happy, like we know the pasuk, Baruch Ata Bivayecha, Baruch Ata Bitzeisecha. Sometimes people are happy Bivayecha when you come, and sometimes people Bitzeisecha when you leave. So Yaakov is telling his two wives, Rachel and Leah, that Roya Anochi es Pnei Avichen, Ki Einenu Eli, his disposition doesn't seem to be towards me the way it was in the earlier days. I once saw a pshat, an entirely different way to understand these words. And with this, we'll conclude tonight's shiur in memory of your father, Zichroiner Levracha. Yaakov Avinu may have also been telling his wives a different message. Yaakov Avinu understood that Lavan is a Ramai. He's a trickster. Lavan does things that aren't good. You have to be careful. Yaakov Avinu is telling Rachel and Leah, we have to move. We have to go. So to speak, it's time to move on and to go elsewhere. Why? Roye anoichi es pnei avichen. Because I know your father. I know his ramayus. I know what he's all about. But einenu a lie, it's not affecting me the way it used to. Einenu a lie, it's not affecting me. As one would say, with the same acute sensitivity of being on guard like we always were. And Yaakov Avinu says, when you're getting used to something and it's not affecting you the same, you better move on. And you better realize we have to do something. Now, of course, we have to be exceedingly careful because we're talking about Yaakov Avinu. But the pshat is so powerful. Sometimes when it comes to different, perhaps technology or whatever it might be, maybe we're repulsed by it. Maybe it's abhorrent to us. But after being exposed to something many times, einenu eli, it doesn't affect us the way it used to. We're not as repulsed. It's not as abhorrent. And we kind of get used to it. It's time to move and to shake it up and to do something. Yaakov Avinu is telling his wives, Roya anoichi es pnei avichen, I know what your father's about. I know the ramayas. I know what he's up to. But how do you know when it's time to move on? Ki einenu a lie, when it doesn't affect you the same way, when you start getting used to it, when you don't have the same acute sensitivity, you know, it's time to move on and to do something. And in our own lives, we know how true it is. Something may affect us greatly, and we know right from wrong. But then the lines get blurred. We're exposed to something again and again, and einenu a lie. It no longer affects us the way that it used to. When something no longer affects us the way it used to, and we seem to tolerate something we shouldn't, it's time to move on and it's time to make sure that we up our game and do something more meaningful. I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, as we said, the shiur is in memory of your father, Zichroino Livracha, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Ben Rabbi Eliezer Lipa HaKoyen. I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, with the six insights we mentioned, Vayete, we should appreciate our Gedolim and the indelible impression they make on us. We should remember how we said so carefully the Pshat, where the Pasuk tells us the many stones became one, because when you realize that there's a greater cause and you're part of a whole, then Be'ezras Hashem, the bickering and the dissension should cease to exist. We should remember, when speaking to somebody in a relationship, achai, convey your caring, your genuineness, and your sincerity. Remember, vayomru lahem, speak to the person, make eye contact, let them know that you truly care. We should be zeicha to the words of the Meshech Chochmah to give credit to the goyrim, that which is the cause, that which is the reason, like the Zvulun to the Yisachar and the Lulav to the dates. we should acknowledge all those in our lives who are goyim and who cause us to accomplish what we can. And finally, remember that when something becomes, we could tolerate it and the lines become blurred, einenu elai, it doesn't affect us the same. We should be zeicha to do something and get closer to the Ribbono shel Olam. I ask you not only to enjoy the chizuk from these Parsha insights, share it at Shabbos, share it at the table, share it with others, so that indeed we could experience Shabbos, which is Mekor HaBracha.